Jesus said more than in just one place. He said that if you have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. And that's the invitation that I'd like to present this morning, that if there's somebody here that has ears, that you would hear what the Word of the Lord says this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers. I've written on the board, alive and ready. Believe into Jesus. This is a follow-up to the message last Sunday that we delivered, where we read about the parable of the 10 virgins. How important it is to be ready to meet the Lord. I'm inspired this morning to continue to give attention to what Jesus has offered, to be at peace with Jesus, a most wonderful privilege that all of us have, and that we can be ready when the Lord calls our names, alive and ready. I don't want to be dead and not ready. Anybody here want to be dead and not ready? Don't want to be dead and not ready? I want to be alive in this life that I can enjoy and be part of the kingdom of God here and now, and have the presence of the Lord walk with me in life, that I might enjoy life and find fulfillment in it and meet Him in peace. We've mentioned before that in a time where, and in a world that there is so much that draws our attention and our hearts and our time and our space, Lord, help us to be deliberate and intentional with our lives. That in the midst of all of those things that compete for our hearts, that we live our lives in a way that the Lord's hand of approval can rest upon it, and that we can be led by His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the One that wants to help us and be with us and bless us in life. I don't want to miss out on that. The Lord has blessed us this morning, all of us here, with time and space and opportunity. And I feel like that is it's a blessing that the Lord has given us, not just that, but I guess those of us that are here today, the Lord has also given us access to and a good deal of understanding of His Word. And that's a talent. You know the parable that we read of the talents where Jesus gave, I believe it said, to one He gave five, and another He gave two, and another He gave one. Well, I feel like that the Lord has given us this morning, He's given us five talents. That's my thinking. Maybe to you it's two, but I don't think it's one. He's given us talents of access to His Word. We all have it. That's a talent that He's given us. And He's given us understanding that many people have not been blessed with. They haven't grown up in a place where they had access and understanding of so much of what the Word of the Lord has to bring us. That these are talents, and I want to use it for my good. I want you to use it for your good, and that we can not only benefit from it personally, but that we might be a hand extended. to those that maybe don't have access like we do, or opportunity or understanding that we have. I want to be a responsible steward of these gifts that the Lord has given to us. I'd also like to say at the outset of this message this morning, and maybe there'll be several more that follow as part of this little series, that just want to reiterate that God does not desire or want honest, believing souls to live in fear, without peace. He doesn't want those that are endeavoring to serve Him with their heart to live life always laboring under this load of, well, what if He doesn't love me? What if I'm not saved? What about the weaknesses that I have in my life? What about the places that I've failed? And let that be a load that we carry all through life. Jesus came to lift the load of sin. He came to be our Savior when we can't be our own Savior. He came to bring us peace when we don't have anything to buy our own peace with. He came to give us rest when we didn't have anything to enable ourselves to rest in Him. Jesus wants us to realize that He came to bring us a great gift of salvation that He paid a price for, a dear price. So He invites us to walk and believe and trust as dear children trust in their parents, that He's going to take care of us. If we believe, if we love Him, if we're endeavoring to follow Him as best that we know, yes, it's a walk of learning and it's a journey, but if we love Him and He's our Father and that's who we've tied our wagon to, He's going to take care of us. Do we have a part? Yes, we have a part. But He wants us to know that He'll do the heavy lifting if we'll let Him. He wants us to be at peace and rest in Him. He's the one that's judging us, not other people. We're not graded on a curve. We don't get to the end of the way and the Lord says, well, I've got space for the most spiritual 144,000 souls. No. It is whosoever will can be saved. Thank the Lord. So what is our part? Last Sunday, we listed four items that are outlined in the Word of the Lord. That's our part. That's necessary for us to be alive and ready to meet the Lord. Maybe we'll go ahead and just write those on the board again. The first one was to believe in Jesus. The second one was to repent Repent of our sins. Acknowledge. The third one is that we grow a relationship with Jesus. And lastly, that we live our lives so that there's nothing between. That we don't accept things in our lives that we know is a problem, but we say, well, that's just how it's going to be. That's just what I want. That's how I'm going to live with that kind of attitude. It doesn't mean that there's not room for growth, because if that's what it meant, I would be lost. But what it does mean is that we don't live our lives accepting things that we know standing between me and Jesus. So nothing between. And this morning, the message is on this first one. That we believe in Jesus. Believe into Jesus. These are necessary. If you want to be alive and ready. When Jesus comes back. If you want to be alive today and have peace in your heart, as opposed to dead and not ready, this is necessary, that we believe into Jesus, we repent of our sins. It's important to us that when I live life, growing my relationship with Jesus Christ is first and foremost. And that as part of that, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior that I haven't brought to Him for help. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him." Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the great love wherewith You loved us, that we might be reconciled with God the Father and have the hope of eternal life. What a promise. What assurance. What hope we have because of the price that Jesus paid for my life. Not a price that I paid, because I wasn't able. The price that Jesus Christ paid for me. And that is key to our rest. And sometimes I feel like it takes us longer than what the Lord would like it to take us to understand that key to our rest is understanding that it is the price paid by Jesus Christ that we are saved. And it is not of ourselves, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Aren't those beautiful words? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that phrase is repeated, that truth is repeated throughout the New Testament. It's not intended to be complicated. Salvation is not intended to be complicated. It is not intended to be only for those that have some elevated ability to understand the complicated things of life. But it was intended to be simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I would like to note this morning, with that said, that it means what it says, though. That when it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what it means, that we believe. That we believe on and in Jesus Christ. I've read that the translation of the word in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That the translation of that is whosoever believeth into him. Where we believe it to the point that we adopt it as our own. That we believe it to the point that we're willing to take it on, and the truths and the way that Jesus taught that we accept it into our own lives. And that is very much what it means when we believe in Jesus Christ. James 2:19 says, ye believe that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So we find that there's more to being saved than just believing that there's one God. There's more to the verse that says, believe in Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Lord wants us to believe into Him. Not just believe that He was God's Son, but the Scriptures teach us that the devils, that they do fear and tremble too. They also believe that there is one God above all else. But the Lord wants more than that from us in life. Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John and the 15th verse, He said, if you love me, what did He say? Live however you want. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Following Jesus means living for Jesus. Believing in Jesus means living after Jesus. It means turning away from our way and believing into what Jesus has brought. Believing in Jesus changes the way we live life. Brings change. It isn't just, oh yeah, I believe on Jesus, and we just keep charging ahead our own way. If you love me, the Scripture says, keep my commandments. Because remember one place Jesus said, He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. It's more than just saying, again, I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm saved. It's more than just professing with our lips, Lord, Lord, and then we go on our way. But Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But, what does it say? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those are the ones that will be saved. Not just the ones that profess with their mouth, but those that truly believe in Jesus for themselves and that do His will shall enter in to the kingdom of heaven. There's another verse in 1 John 5:3. And it said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. This is what represents whether or not we love God or not. It's if you keep His commandments. We keep a lot of things in life, don't we? When there's things that we want to do, places we want to go, we say, I want to go to this destination. And we get out the directions on how to get there. And we follow them. And the reason that we're following the directions that are given to us is because we want to get to the destination. If we say, I want to get to the destination and it's up north, but I'm heading south. Well, there's a disconnect. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. It's an empty saying for us to profess our love for God and for Jesus and yet continue to willfully live our lives contrary to His will. Those become empty words. If somebody tells me, they say, "Rod, I believe wholeheartedly that what you're telling me is totally, completely true, that what I need to do up ahead is turn right. I believe you with all my heart that what you're telling me is right, that I need to turn right up the road." But then I find that they're going around, they're talking to a lot of other people to find out how they think they should turn. And yea, indeed, when they get up to the intersection, they turn left. And yet they say to me, I believe you wholeheartedly, that what you're telling me, that the right thing to do is turn right. But they turn left. Those words then are empty. Are they not? Jesus said, if Jesus says, "This is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, walk ye in it." And I say, I believe it, the Lord. I believe that the Bible is true. I believe it's right. I believe in your name. But then we willfully live outside, contrary to His leadings. Then there's a disconnect that is going to have to be rectified, otherwise I'm going to miss out on life. I'm going to miss out on being alive. Why? Because He's life. Jesus is life. And if He says, "This is the way, walk ye in it, follow me," and we look at it, And we have all kinds of reasons why that it's right for us to turn left instead of right. And we have all kinds of reasons to delay and to defer going in the way that Jesus said to go. And so we go our own way. Perhaps with good intentions. Intentions of getting back on the road later. But now I just know, I'm going to go this way. We're going to miss out on life because Jesus is life. And if He comes back for our lives individually, or if He comes back at the end of time, if we're happen to be living at that time, it doesn't really matter whether He calls us individually or whether we're alive. When He comes back and calls our name, we won't be ready to go if we've just said that, "Lord, I believe You're the Son of God," but we're calling it out to Him because He's way off somewhere over there going in the way of life. And I'm saying, "Lord, I believe in You." And then we're living however we want to live. Then when He comes back for me, I won't be ready to go. I won't have oil in my life and in my lamp because He's the giver of oil. There's nowhere else to find the oil of life, the oil of the Spirit. Nowhere else to find it except through Jesus. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. He's the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thankful this morning. The good news is that He offers the oil of life to every single one of us. And we don't have to be left behind. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you salvation. I'll give you peace. I'll be my God and you can be my people. But here's the thing. We have to come. That's our part. Our part is that we have to come and keep coming. It isn't going to work to come and go. Have you ever heard a party that says it's a come and go party? Have you ever been to a come and go party? It's come and go. It starts at 4 o'clock and it's come and go until 8. And what that means is you can come anytime you want between 4 and 8, and you can go whenever you want, and that's the design of it. You don't have to get there at 4. You don't have to stay till 8. It's come and go. Our walk with the Lord is not a come and go party. If you want to be alive and you want to be ready, this is a come and stay party. This is a come and keep coming life. That's what it means when it says to believe in Jesus. It means that when we come, we necessarily have to leave something, right? If I go to something, I'm necessarily leaving something else. I can't be at two places at the same time. No man can serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other, but I can't do both at the same time. I can't live after myself and my own desires and my own wishes and, well, that's what I want to do and I only have one life and after all, God's bigger than this and this is just how I want to live. And the Scripture says all I need to do is just believe in Jesus and I believe He's God's Son and I'm so thankful He died on the cross and here's how I'm going to live my life. That's not what it means. If you really believe in Jesus, you're going to want to be where Jesus is. You're going to believe that what He brought is truth. And you're going to want to come and you're going to want to keep coming and you're not going to want to go away. That's the good news of the gospel, is that He invites all of us to come and He'll help us. And no matter where you are, no matter the trouble that you're in, no matter the things that you may look at and you may feel like, well, this is keeping me from coming. I want to come, but I don't know how I'm going to come. The Lord will help you come. The Lord is He's a master at taking our lives and working things out for us that was way beyond our comprehension of how He could ever work something like that out. The Lord can do that for us, but we have to be willing to come. It doesn't mean that when we do come, that all the trouble of life just goes away and that believing in Jesus, that the day that we profess, believe in Jesus and come to Him, that all of the cares of life go away. That's not what it means. Was never promised that. It doesn't mean that on day one that I understand, that intellectually I understand everything that I read in the Word of the Lord. And that everything makes sense and that I grasp it and that my heart embraces it. Because the Scripture says that we're going to grow in grace. The Scripture teaches us that He's going to help perfect us. And that perfection process and that growth process means that as we live our life, we're going to face some things that maybe we struggle to grasp. Maybe we struggle to believe. And we might say, well, if I don't believe it and I don't understand it and I don't feel it, how can I just say, okay, I believe, I feel it, when I don't? Well, don't let the enemy bully you or put you in a corner and take advantage of you, because There are things in our Christian life that don't come all at one time. And that doesn't mean that you don't believe in Jesus. The Lord has given us enough in His Word and His creation and in dealing with our souls that all individuals can indeed believe that God is real, that Jesus is His Son, that He is right, that His ways are above my ways, and that I can turn from my way, believe into Jesus' way, and say, Lord, I'm hooking up to Your way. Lord, I'm going to follow You. And then as we do that, it is a journey that we go on, that we embark on, where we begin to learn and to grow, and where our belief in different areas of the Word of the Lord, it becomes more full, our understanding becomes more full. Our part is to nurture then, nurture our trust, our faith. Romans 10 and 17 says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of the Lord. Give the Lord time and space in your life. We've been talking quite a bit about time and space. Give the Lord time in your life. Give Him space in your life. Give yourself to His Word. Nurture your faith by exposure to His Word and the study of truth. The children of Israel were saved from Egypt. The Lord delivered them from Egypt, but they weren't done. They still had much to learn. And even when they got into the land of Canaan, there was still land for them that God wanted to give them that they had not had not obtained yet. They weren't ready for everything at once. And neither are we. And our lives are like that. The Lord saves us. We believe. We say, Lord, I'm casting my lot with You. I'm going to turn away from the way that I've lived. And I'm going to begin to seek Your Word and Your face and Your Spirit. That I would know how to live in a way that You want me to live. And the Lord will be faithful to help us. But just because we don't understand everything on day one doesn't mean that you don't believe in Christ. Jesus told his disciples in one place, He said, I have many things to say unto you. But He said, you can't bear them right now. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, then He'll lead and guide you, the Comforter. And we're in that place today too, that sometimes there's things about our lives that we're not ready for. And I'll pause and say this. Sometimes we see things in other people's lives where they haven't reached the fullness of truth. And perhaps the Lord has not revealed it to them because they're not ready to see it yet. Maybe you see it, but they're not ready yet. And the fact of the matter is that that's probably where we all are in some area of life. That in the Lord's mercy, He doesn't want to discourage us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He doesn't want to squash us when we're not ready for something. And so by His Spirit, He leads us. That we can come into a more full understanding of truth. And by His grace, He will give us grace to live to what He has shown us. But when He shows us, and when the Lord reveals to us truth, believing into Jesus means that we say, Hear my Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go. As His disciples believed and followed and gave time and space to to the Lord, they grew in faith, didn't they? And in the knowledge of the Lord, and we can too. Every single one of us. The Lord is a gentle shepherd. He's kind. He's loving. He's merciful. We heard a verse this morning that said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Isn't that such a blessing? So encouraging to know that that's our shepherd, that that's the one who's leading us, that that's the one that we're believing into. It's the one that cares about us, that'll help us, that'll nurture us as we do our part in nurturing an understanding of who Jesus is and His will. Thank the Lord. This morning, to be at peace with God and to be ready to meet Him, Jesus said that we must believe in Him. I want to be as the father that cried with tears and told Jesus, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Let's be encouraged this morning to believe in Jesus.